Hello, this is Teresia Smith and Quintana. Today, we are going to talk about no turning back, dying to your emotions. Our scriptural reading will be coming from 1 Kings chapter 13. Now, several weeks back, during my devotional reading time, I opened my Bible to 1 Kings chapter 13. I did not do it intentionally. I happened to stumble upon it, actually. I really wanted to read a psalm, and I was tired and wanted to go to bed, but I knew that I needed to read at least one scripture verse before I went to sleep. Now, as I read 1 Kings 13, I became captivated. I started wondering, seeking, questioning. I had so many questions bubbling up within me. The story enchanted me, and I started thinking on it day in and day out. The main question that I had, why? Why? To be honest with you, I was really bothered by it, by the outcome. As I meditated on it, talked to God about it, asked him questions, I even reread the story over and over, I came to realize that the characters in the story could be any one of us. We could have done the same thing, acted the same way. And why? Because of emotions. See for yourself. Let's read 1 Kings chapter 13. And we are going to be reading from the NIV version. By the way of the Lord, a man of God came from Judah to Bethel, and Jeroboam was standing by the altar to make an offering. He cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord, O altar, altar, this is what the Lord says, a son named Josiah will be born to the house of David. On you he will sacrifice the priests of the high places who now make offerings here. And human bones will be burned on you. That same day, the man of God gave a sign. This is the sign the Lord has declared. The altar will be split apart and the ashes on it will be poured out. When King Jeroboam heard what the man of God cried out against the altar at Bethel, he stretched out his hand from the altar and said, "Seize him!" But the hand he stretched out toward the man shriveled up so that he could not pull it back. Also, the altar was split apart and its ashes poured out according to the sign given by the man of God by the word of God. Then the king said to the man of God, "Intercede with the Lord your God and pray for me that my hand may be restored." So the man of God interceded with the Lord. And the king's hand was restored and became as it was before. The king said to the man of God, "Come home with me and have something to eat, and I will give you a gift." But the man of God answered the king, "Even if you were to give me half your possessions, I would not go with you, nor would I eat bread or drink water here. For I was commanded by the word of the Lord, you must not eat bread or drink water or return by the way you came." So he took another road and did not return by the way he had come to Bethel. Now, there was a certain old prophet living in Bethel whose sons came and told him all that the man of God had done there that day. They also told their father what he had said to the king. Their father asked him, "Which way did he go?" And his sons showed him which road the man of God from Judah had taken. So he said to his sons, "Saddle the donkey for me." And when they had saddled the donkey for him, he mounted it and rode after the man of God. He found him sitting under an oak tree and said, "Are you the man of God who came from Judah?" "I am," he replied. So the prophet said to him, "Come home with me and eat." The man of God said, I cannot turn back and go with you, nor can I eat bread or drink water with you in this place. I have been told by the word of the Lord, you must not eat bread or drink water there or return by the way you came. The old prophet answered, I too am a prophet, as you are. And an angel said to me by the word of the Lord, bring him back with you to your house so that he may eat bread and drink water. But he was lying to him. Verse 19. So the man of God returned with him and ate and drank in his house. 20. While they were sitting at the table, the word of the Lord came to the old prophet who had brought him back. He cried out to the man of God who had come from Judah. This is what the Lord says. You have defied the word of the Lord and have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. You came back and ate bread and drank water in the place where he told you not to eat or drink. Therefore, your body will not be buried in the tomb of your fathers. When the man of God had finished eating and drinking, the prophet who had brought him back saddled his donkey for him. As he went on his way, a lion met him on the road and killed him. And his body was thrown down on the road with both the donkey and the lion standing beside it. Some people who had passed by saw the body thrown down there with the lion standing beside the body. And they went and reported it in the city where the old prophet lived. When the prophet who had brought him back from his journey heard of it, he said, "It is the man of God who defied the word of the Lord. The Lord has given him over to the lion, which has mauled him and killed him as the word of the Lord had warned him." Verse 27, the prophet said to his sons, "Saddle the donkey for me." And they did so. They went out and found the body thrown down on the road with the donkey and the lion standing beside it. The lion had neither eaten the body nor mauled the donkey. So the prophet picked up the body of the man of God, laid it on the donkey, and brought it back to his own city to mourn for him and bury him. Then he laid the body in his own tomb, and they mourned over him and said, "Oh, my brother." Verse 31, after burying him, he said to his sons, "When I die, bury me in the grave where the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones, for the message he declared by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel and against all the shrines of the high places in the towns of Samaria will certainly come true." Now, here were my questions. Why did the man of God not have a name or more information given about him? Why did the old prophet not have a name or, again, more information given about him? Why would the man of God, after knowing what God had told him, seeing what God could do, and hearing from God, why would he turn back? Why did the old prophet lie? Why would the old prophet cause the young one, the man of God, to disobey God if he too was a prophet and knew God's words and God's ways? Last question. Why did the old prophet want to go after him and invite him back to his home? Was it a test? Well, here are the answers that were revealed to me as I continue to study this chapter, the man of God. Now, the man of God, he wasn't necessarily a prophet or anyone of importance, just someone that God used. He worshiped and obeyed God's precepts. He believed in God. He honored him and he loved him. God used him as the messenger. It was like God sending an everyday common person to relay a message. He gave him specific instructions. He doesn't have a name because his name is not important. His actions are. What we do know is that he was a man of God. That particular description says it all. He loved God and served him. His actions are where you and I come in. Now, the old prophet. Again, the name of the prophet is not important. His actions are. The prophet in this story represents anyone that tells you God told them. Or in this case, the case of the prophet, an angel told him. Told them this or that concerning you. Now, this individual could be a friend, it could be a family member, or they could be a brother or sister in Christ. Now, why did the man of God turn back? Why did he believe the prophet? Well, let's imagine the scenario. God has given him a message delivered to a king. A king that has the power to take his life. With it comes explicit instructions. He was probably hesitant and scared and perhaps even doubtful. But you know what? He did go. The deed done, he heads back home, but not the way he came. He remembers what God told him. However, he's tired. He's hungry, thirsty, and you know, he's possibly calling himself all kinds of crazy fools as he trudges along the road. Eventually, he finds a tree, he sits, and he takes a rest. Well, here comes a man on a donkey introducing himself as a prophet. He asks him about the little showdown that happened with Jeroboam. The young man is probably wondering how this person knows about that situation. He's thinking, a prophet? Maybe God has changed his mind, he thinks to himself. By the way, I am hungry and thirsty and I just did this crazy thing and I don't know if God really was telling me to do this. I think he was, but right now I'm just not sure. I need someone to talk to. You know what? Maybe God did send him to me. He did say he was a prophet. The man of God thinks to himself, trying to convince himself. Now, the man of God had probably never done anything that bold before. It doesn't say much of whom or what he was, but my guess is this was a first for him. He turned back because his faith in himself was not strong. Although he completed the task, saw God work a healing miracle, which was King Jeroboam's arm, and the sign that God said would happen, which was the altar splitting, come to pass, his faith in himself and what God had called him to do was weak. Therefore, when the prophet came along, introduced himself as such, and said, an angel said to me, he accepted it. He trusted the old prophet. He believed that the prophet was surely closer to God and has God's ear. He hears from God, right? He's a prophet. He's used to hearing from God. So, the man of God, he follows him. Follows him home to his house. All right, well, let's touch on some points about why the man of God went back. Okay, why did he go back? Well, first point, because of his emotions. He was tired, he was hungry, he was a little weirded out. He just told the king that God did not like what he was doing, and that God will punish him. Why did he go back? Doubt within himself. He trusted and believed the words of man over God and what God had told him to do. He was also thinking emotionally, physically, instead of spiritually, godly. And if we think about it, we ourselves can put our own selves in that situation. Sometimes we don't think spiritually, we think emotionally, we think physically. We tend to put reality over faith, and that is not what God wants for us. Now, let's talk about some points as to why the young man believed the prophet. Well, he believed the prophet because the prophet introduced himself as such. The prophet said, "An angel said to me by the word of the Lord." He was possibly questioning and doubting himself as and what God had sent him to do. He wasn't spiritually strong enough. And he believed the prophet because his guidance faltered. He did not compare the word of the prophet to what God had told him. And if he did, he did not want to heed the personal promptings from within. Why did the prophet lie and have the man of God to disobey God? Well, in reading this Bible story, I could not understand why the prophet would cause the messenger to falter if he too knew of God and worshiped him. Why go after him? After his sons told the story to him, why not just let it go? Why not say, "Well, you know, Jeroboam is going to get his"? Why did he want the messenger to come back with him? Why? What was the significance? Well, in order for me to get a better understanding, I read the chapter before and after. And here is the significance. The old prophet was living in the area, Bethel, and was probably thinking, why didn't God call him to go confront the king? If we go back and read verse 11, it says, "Now there was a certain old prophet living in Bethel whose sons came and told him all that the man of God had done there that day. They also told their father what he had said to the king." Now, the prophet wanted to see whom this man of God was and why did God use him, the man of God, instead of the prophet. The prophet was not only curious, but perhaps he was a little jealous. The prophet was like my mother would say, wanting to pick the man of God's mouth. In other words, he wanted to find out what the messenger knew. What did God tell him? Is he really from God? Perhaps really test him. The prophet's emotions too were running high. Why not me, God? Did I say or do something against God? Why him instead of me? The prophet probably was thinking. So he lied. Only at the end did he realize that the man of God was truly sent, that he had caused him to disobey God because of his jealousy. Because of his emotions. Now, what is the meaning of this story, this lesson, or this teaching? When God gives us instructions for an assignment, we must be careful not to let our emotions and those of other individuals distract us. If God told us to do something, then do it. If someone comes to you and says, "God says," then you need to confirm that saying with what God specifically told you. Confirm it with the Word of God. Read your Bible. You must die to your emotions. You cannot serve God based on your emotions. If that were the case, most of us would have run scared a long time ago. You must serve God by trust and obedience. Yes, I know you don't understand why he chose you. You don't exactly understand what he has for you to do. But know this, God does. And that's all that matters. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, it says to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. You know, it is not always for us to know but to obey. Remember, God's thoughts are not like our thoughts, and neither are his ways our ways. He is not the author of confusion, and he is not double-minded. If he sent someone to you, it would be to confirm what he first told you. Remember that. It would be to confirm what he first told you. It will not be something opposite. God will not tell you one thing and then send someone else to you with an opposite message. God is not the God of confusion. He is not double-minded. If God did something like that, it would be like God did not know what he was doing. That is impossible. He is God. You will know. You should know within your heart. You should know within your mind. And you should know within your spirit that what this person is telling you is confirmation from God. You will know deep within you that it is confirmation from God. You have to be careful whom you listen to, who has your ear. Not everyone that whispered a word from God is for you. They may not intentionally mean to harm you. And then again, some do. But they too may be battling their emotions where you are concerned. They may have the why not me syndrome. You know the one. Why did God choose them and not me? Why did God send him and not me? Why did God have her write a book and not me? Why did God do this for her and not me? Why? I call it the why not me syndrome. What have God called you to do, to go, or to say? Whom have you listened to that has caused you to get off track? What words did they speak into you that you believed and have caused you to falter? Why are you allowing your emotions to hinder your God-given assignment? You're scared? So what? So was Moses. He told God he wasn't a good orator. He asked God for help, and God gave it to him. He will do the same for you. You're angry? Understandable. Why do you have to do it, you ask yourself? You don't even like the individual, or you don't even like the organization, or you don't even like the situation. You know, you may wish that they would all fall off the face of the earth. You know, for example, Jonah with the Ninevites, until, you know, Jonah did not like the Ninevites. He wanted to have nothing to do with them. He didn't want to go talk to them. He wanted the whole nation to perish. But you know what? God needed him to go and speak to them. Only Jonah can do it. And it was a reason that God sent Jonah. Okay? So even though you may not like the situation, even though you may not like the individual, even though you wish that they would just fall off the face of the earth, you have got to go. You know, yes, Jonah felt the same way about the Ninevites, but you know, God had to check his attitude with a 3-day stay in a 4th-rate motel called a whale's belly. So think about that. You're unsure? Will they listen to me? You ask yourself. Will they accept it? Will they laugh at me? Will they believe me? Will they think that I have credibility? It does not matter. If God sends you, obey and do his work. Now, in the story, the man of God did not heed the direction and instructions given to him, but instead listened to wrong counsel and paid for that decision with his life. God did not give him a second chance, but he's giving you one right now. So stop listening to other people about what you should or should not do. Die to your emotions. Loving God is trusting God. Do what God has asked you to do. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. You know, I once heard my pastor say that good guides knows where they are going and leading. They factor in your abilities and your limitations. Now, this is what the Holy Spirit will do for you. He knows what you can do and what you cannot do. He needs you, and that is why He has instructed you to do the assignment. Listen, yield, and obey. Remember that God has already placed within you everything that you need to complete the task that He has placed before you. Everything. You have everything within you that you need to complete the task that God has placed within you. Always remember that. He would not send you to do a task if He knew that you could not do it. He does not doubt you. You are the one that are doubting yourself. You, not God. Again, listen, yield, and obey.